Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, here's what we are going to do today on a Witnessy Wednesday. Going to have a bit of a flashback because we have spent years witnessing to people on the streets. But one of the things that we used to do when this year Wretched Radio show used to be Way of the Master Radio. Wow, remember that? We used to actually phone fish, where different folks would actually go out in the streets, ask somebody if they would talk to a guy on the radio with their cell phone, and then we would witness to them. And so it is. Today we're going to spend the time going back and do some fishing with Trishan. That never worked, Eric. Here we go. Where are you, Trish?
Well, you'll never believe it. I'm in Compton, California.
I've got to go.
Okay, Trish, you're in Compton. What are you thinking, woman?
Well, you know, I've got to share with you, Todd. Somebody asked me the other day why it seemed like I never get nervous, you know, when witnessing or when on the radio. And, you know, I told them, I said, looks can be so deceiving because that's so not true. You know, I'm nervous all the time. And there's a neat quote that's really been on my heart lately. And it's this: all men who are eminently useful are made to feel their weakness in a supreme degree. And that was said by Charles Spurgeon. Mm. And I've really been meditating on that, and that's how I feel almost every time I come out and do crazy, daring things. But listen to this as well. There's another great quote that really describes how I feel every time. Listen to this. It says, rarely do I approach a stranger to witness to him without a feeling of weakness. Fear sits on my shoulder like a sinister bird and whispers words of inadequacy. But I've learned to thank God for the fear, because without it, I wouldn't pray. I wouldn't bother. It is my own weakness that makes me pray. My weakness makes me whisper, help me, Lord, and thus becomes my strength. And Todd, that was by Ray Comfort.
If we think for a second that we're clever witnessers or great preachers, God won't use that because he doesn't want to be robbed of his glory.
Right.
He's going to get the credit. And if we're not having, if you will, success, we should really take a look maybe at our own hearts. So you're in Compton. Are you scared?
No, not at all. Let me clarify. I'm at Compton Community College, and the first person that I met is Larche, and he's here. He's the ASB vice president of this campus.
The what?
ASB vice president, Associated Student Body.
You're playing sickness bang?
Associated Student Body. Okay, yes.
The ASB vice president really plays a huge role in the campus and is a big example to the students here. And so I think it's going to be a really neat conversation. I
okay,
know Ray's
Trish,
probably going to
try
win
and
sword
get him.
Fight.
I'm going to try and get him really angry and then tell him to go and talk to you.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to say that about sword fighting. Hey, listen to this, Todd. I wanted to share this with you. I know sometimes, Ray, you don't actually witness to them on the radio, but you'll bring them through the law. And it's really interesting because after every conversation, when you're done witnessing to them and just bringing them through the law, I can tell whether you have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, about him dying on the cross, or whether you haven't and you've just brought him through the law.
How?
There's a difference. Well, there's a difference with the person that's being interviewed. I can tell they're either very angry, and that's when I know that you haven't shared the good news. If you shared the gospel, there's a soberness, and I can really tell the difference between the two.
See, here's what we do here. Instead of trying to rush through, because now we're going to have 10 minutes with Larche.
Right.
And instead of smacking, you know, we got to get to the, have you ever told a lie business, so that we can get to the guy. No, we're going to do it naturally. And where
right.
we leave off, you pick it up.
We've got 7 minutes.
All right, we've
That's
got seven
right.
minutes. We better get to Larche. All right, pass the
okay.
pass the telly, Trish.
Larche, and I'm going to walk over to him. I've had him kind of standing away, and he stepped out of his
okay,
office.
Okay, so no pressure, Ray, but make it snappy, would you?
Okay, he's ready to go and waiting. With a big smile.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay,
you.
Here he is.
Hello?
Larche, thank you for being on the radio. It's my name's Ray. How you doing?
All right, man. How's it going?
Good. Hey, tell me what you think happens after somebody dies.
Either you go to heaven or hell. I don't know. I'm not really sure, you know?
You're not really sure? Do you think about it much?
Yeah, I mean, we all got to die someday, but I don't know.
So where are you going when you die?
hopefully to heaven, you know?
Hey, I got a question for you. I want to read to you just two verses out of the Bible and get what you think they mean. You ready?
All right. Yeah.
This is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Grace to you and peace from God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age." Do you think we're living in an evil age?
Something like that.
I mean, do you think the world is an evil place?
No, I actually don't think it's evil, but I know there's a lot of evil people and a lot of evil things in the world today.
So what is an evil? How would you describe an evil person? What would they do for you to categorize them as being evil?
That's a good question. Let me see. Really negative, always negative. Just bring a lot of negative energy, you know, just not really looking for the positive, probably doesn't believe in God, and is mainly not so positive. I don't know, I'm kind of like more on the positive side of things. I try not to look so negative, but...
Well, it must be hard for you to watch the news every night on television, because it's always negative stuff. If it bleeds, it
bleeds.
Yeah,
I'm always like at school or like work, I really don't really watch the news, but I do read the newspaper, and there is like a lot of not-so-good things, yeah. Bad things that happen every day.
Would you consider yourself to be an evil person?
No, I don't.
So if you were negative, you'd be evil. Would you think someone who murders someone is evil?
It depends.
Huh?
Like, just for the fun of it, yeah. Like, as if you're kind of like... if you're a gang member or something, you know, and you're just doing it just for fun, just to, like, prove yourself.
Okay, what's that? You don't do it for fun, you do it for money.
For money?
Yeah. I'm talking about someone murdering someone, premeditated murder. They think, I'm going to murder that person, they make plans, and then they slit their throat or they shoot them in the back of the head. Is that evil?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
What about someone who steals? Is that an evil thing to do?
It's not good, but it happens, you know?
Yeah, what about... rape.
That's evil.
Okay, adultery?
Not good.
Lying?
It's kind of standard, but some people say it's evil, like it's not good to lie, but I feel like everybody lies here and there, you know?
Well, you can't make that judgment because you don't know everybody. There are some people that just don't lie in the world, and we can't make a sweeping judgment. Do you think everyone lies?
Occasionally.
Everyone lies occasionally. You think everyone steals occasionally?
No, I never said that.
Okay, so let's see how you're going to do on Judgment Day. We're just going to do a little test to see if you're going to make it, whether you're negative, positive, good, or evil, or whatever. You ready?
All right.
Okay, have you ever lied?
Yes.
What does it make you?
What was that?
What are you called if you lie?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
In the past, I'll be honest.
Well,
but not anymore.
Lachey, everything we do is in the past. Even the sentence I've just said to you is in the past. So being in the past doesn't make it right. So if you've stolen something, what are you called?
A thief.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Three minutes.
Have you used God's name in vain?
No.
Not once?
No.
Okay, that's commendable. Have you ever hated somebody?
No.
Okay, have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her? Jesus said... Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Sometimes when I go out, you know, I don't know. It happens occasionally.
Lachey, there's bad news. Listen to this. No. By your own admission, you're a lying thief and an adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day. So when you stand before God, he's going to see you as being evil, as being guilty. And the Bible tells us all liars live their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no adulterer, no fornicator is going to enter God's kingdom. So what are you going to do on the day of judgment when all your sins come out?
Although most of that stuff that happened, you know, the lying and the stealing, I mean, that's from the past. I mean, I've asked for, like, forgiveness, and, like, I would just pray and, like, hope that...
Well, that won't help you, Lachey. A lot of people think that. That's like standing in front of a judge and saying, Judge, I robbed the bank, raped the woman, shot the guard, killed him, but it's in the past, Judge, and I'm sorry. Judge can say, what are you talking about? Everything's in the past, and being sorry won't help you. What you need is someone who can wash away your sins. Now, remember Jesus gave himself for us, that verse I read to you? For our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Tell me what you think it means that Christ died on our cross. What does that mean on the cross? What does it mean to you? Anything?
Yeah.
What? Try and put it in your own words.
That he died for our sins.
Yeah, he took the punishment for us. When he was on the cross, all our sin was laid upon him. The Bible says God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made righteous in God's sight. His suffering death paid the fine that you and I couldn't pay, so that on the day of judgment we could leave the courtroom. And then the Bible says it wasn't possible that death could hold him. He rose from the dead and defeated the power of the grave. And now what you must do, Lachey, is repent and trust in him. Don't just believe in Jesus, but trust in him like you trust a parachute. And don't just confess your sins to God, turn from them. That's called repentance, where you confess and forsake your sins. So when do you think you're going to get right with God? Because at the moment, Lachey, if you died, if a stray bullet came your way or a car hit you, you'd go to hell for eternity. When are you going to get right with God?
Today.
Today. Do you mean that?
Yes.
Okay, well, you got Trish there. She's a great woman. She loves the Lord. So have a talk with her further. She's got some literature for you. And thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
This is Wretched Radio.
Don't take my word for why you should support the Masters Academy International. Take John MacArthur's.
We go into countries all over the world to train pastors, to train them in godliness, to train them in expositing the scripture, in teaching sound theology. Some of our training centers are 30 years in, and they're now turned over completely to the indigenous leadership of those countries, and we can pull out and go to another country. They're in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Latin America, Asia. Strong pastors make strong churches make strong Christians, and that makes a high impact of Christianity in the world.
That is why I would like to invite you to consider supporting the Masters Academy International, little mini seminaries, Todd, that was redundant, all over the world. Please strengthen the church by supporting the Masters Academy International. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Last year's Bastille Day sale elicited the following emails. This is so inappropriate. You are taking this too far. I am unsubscribing. In response to these emails, complaints, this year we're proud to announce Wretched's second annual Bastille Day sale. Come celebrate the French Revolution with us July 12th through the 14th. I mean, people are really losing their heads over these prices. In fact, these markdowns are starting riots. We're practically putting the steel in Bastille. Get it? You don't want to miss out on this sale. Okay, I think I'm done now. Nope, wait, one more. 'Twas the best of sales, 'twas the worst of sales. Okay, now I think I'm done. Visit wretched.org/sale July 12th through the 14th for Wretched's second annual Bastille Day sale. That's wretched.org/sale July 12th through the 14th.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts here. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. 2 Samuel tells about King David's reign over Israel. Even though David was a man after God's heart, he still gave in to temptation and suffered bitter consequences. Yet David repented of his sin and was forgiven by God. Remember, there is only one perfect and faultless king, Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All righty, let's check in with Trish, who's at Compton. Compton what?
Hi, Compton Community College.
Hey, tell us about Larchet, the last fellow. Now, there's another guy. Boy, Ray, sober as a judge when you were done giving the good news. What
I don't
happened?
Know if you could use that nowadays, sober as a judge.
Apparently, you know something we don't.
Yeah.
What happened, Trish?
Well, check this out. Todd and Ray, I've been here the entire time, and we talked straight. I asked him if, you know, if they shared the good news and what God did for him, and he said he knew what God did for him, that he died. And I asked him, I said, you know, are you living for the Lord today? Are there things in your life that you know if you were to die tonight, you would go to hell for? And he said, yes, absolutely. He was completely sober. As we were talking to him, his eyes watered up. You know, we shared what Christ did. I brought out a few more commandments with him that I wasn't sure if you guys had. And he was just really sober-minded. Gave him a Greatest Gamble DVD, a whole bunch of tracks. And then I also told him about the people that he hangs out with. You know what he said to me? He said that he was locally here in Compton the other day, and that he was thinking about death a lot because somebody attacked him and jumped him and hit him over the head with a bottle. So who knows what type of situation he was in to get hit over the head with a bottle. But he's been thinking about death and what, you know, where he'd go if he were to die tonight. So we told him today was not by chance, and that we really cared for him and didn't want to see him go to hell, and that God could transform him from darkness to light in an instant.
Wow, praise the Lord.
That's great.
That was great. Well, let me tell you, I'm here with Nick, and he's a defensive linebacker here for the campus. So he plays football, and he's kind of a big guy. He was born in Samoa, and he was raised in the Bronx of New York.
So you're going to talk to Nick, the Samoan football player who grew up in the Bronx, who's now going to Compton College.
Yes, and how did he end up from the Bronx to California? He came out to California 5 years ago because his mom got sick. So his mom just died, and he is here ready to talk to you guys.
Okay, pass the phone over to Nick. Oh, this is okay,
okay.
Ray. Let's see if that
here
issue comes
up. Here we go. Here's Nick. Nick, right. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good. My name's Ray. You're born in Samoa?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I was born twice in New Zealand, and that's not far from Samoa. So when did you move to the U.S.?
About a year after I was born.
So you wouldn't remember too much about Samoa?
Well, I know about it. It's just like the native tongue is really like not too familiar with me.
Nick, tell me what you think about the things of God. Do you have a faith in God?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me about it. Are you a Christian? Have you been born again?
Basically, for me, I see it as I believe in a lot of all perspectives. You know, I believe there's a God, but then, you know, it's just like there's proof, but then there's no proof.
Well, what's the proof? Let's go on. What proof are you talking about?
Like the Ten Commandments, the Bible. So the commandments is actually true. You know, they have the tablet of it. But, you know, the Bible, you know, the Bible's been stripped down so much. You know, there's things in it that's not even been actually revealed. And now that people are bringing it up, everybody's wondering, well, what's really going on?
So could you tell me, could you be specific about the Bible? Because I believe it's God's word, and if there's something in there that's wrong, I'd like to know about it. I've been reading it every day for nearly 35 years, and I'm still looking for something that isn't true. Could you be specific? What have you heard about the scriptures that aren't true?
I'm not saying that, like, it's not all completely not accurate.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, there's like, the Bible has been renewed so much, and people who renew it, you know, they got the New Testament, the Old Testament, and they got both in one book, and, you know, everything that's going around.
Well, the exciting thing, Nick, for you and for me is that nowadays we've got computers, and we can look up programs that go back to the original Hebrew and the original Greek, and we can see how it hasn't changed at all in thousands of years, and you can totally rely on it. So that's good news for you. You talked about the Ten Commandments a moment ago. Do you think the Ten Commandments are good?
Yeah, they're good, but if people actually sit down and really think about it, not everybody abides by them. You know, like, honor thy father, you know, only worship one God. And that brings me to a point when it's worship one God, and you look at these other religions, and people think, oh, yeah, you know, just because they believe in something else, it's not God.
Well, why do you think God gave us the Ten Commandments?
Personally, it was to hold an upright, peaceful life without no sin or anything. and just follow the simple steps, this is supposed to open the gates to heaven.
So you think if you keep the Ten Commandments, you're going to live? Is that what you're saying? You keep the Ten Commandments and you'll enter heaven?
No. I mean, this is just my opinion. I don't believe it. I believe that, you know, just like if you go to church, I don't believe that, you know, not everybody should go to church to worship God. I mean, you could let God in your heart by reading the Bible yourself. You know, of course, you know, God said, you know, the Bible actually said, well, you know, let someone preach the word in a group so the word could be spread. But, you know, it takes you, it has to have, it starts with one person.
Right.
And you can't, you know, you can't have one person force someone on there. Because I can go to church and I can just sit there and people could think I'm like the goodest person in the world, but I'm not.
No. So what happens after someone dies? Where do they go?
Wow. In a way, I believe in reincarnation.
Uh-huh.
In a way, I do, because they say, and this is actually true in my eyes, my perspective, when one person dies, another person is born. So I think, you know, it's a cycle for that. But then it's also from other people's beliefs, too. I also believe there is a heaven and a hell. But, I mean, even the good people can go to hell. And the bad people can go to heaven sometimes.
Well, where are you going?
Huh?
Where are you going to go?
Oh, be honest with you, I really don't know. I'm hoping I can be reincarnated into someone else.
You are hoping? So do you
I'm
think,
hoping.
So do you think you have to be a good person to go to heaven?
No. So, you can make good choices in life, because not everybody's a good person. Everybody has their own different perspective on
what. What about you? What about you specifically? Say if you died tonight, where are you going to go? I mean, it's a huge question, Nick. You should be thinking about it seriously and not sort of saying, "Oh, maybe, perhaps."
Personally, I believe that if I die tonight, I'll be in the sky.
You go to heaven. Okay, let's do a little test to see if you do. I'm going to just take you through those Ten Commandments that you believe in. Okay?
Okay.
Let's look at the Ninth Commandment. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
It's you shall not bear false witness. So have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I have.
So what are you called? What are you called if you tell a lie?
Where do you go if you tell a lie?
No, what are you called? If I told a lie, what would you call me?
I wouldn't call you anything, because this is the different situation for reasoning of lies. You can always lie for the good or you can lie for the bad. It just depends on how
you. You ever lied for the bad?
Have I ever lied? No.
So all the lies that you've told in your life are good lies?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever stolen something?
I've done my fair share. I mean, I've done it at least 3 times in my life.
So that makes you a thief, doesn't it, if you steal things?
It doesn't make me a thief. It makes me, you know.
If you took something from a department store and there was a police officer standing there, he'd say, "Stop, thief," because you've stolen something. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Nope.
Okay. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery already with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
No. But no, the reason why I say no is because I have a lot more respect for that.
So you've never done it in your life, Nick?
Have I ever done it in my life?
You ever looked at a woman with lust even once in your life?
Once.
Okay. You've committed adultery in God's eyes.
But you can also repent for everything you've done.
That won't help you on Judgment Day, Nick. Most people think that, but it won't help you. That's like saying to a judge in a court of law, "Judge, I committed the crime, but I won't do it again." The judge isn't going to let you go just because you won't do it again. He won't even let you go just because you're sorry.
But also, the judge will take down your sentence for the crimes that you did if you pleaded guilty.
Okay, you're not pleading guilty. You're justifying yourself. You're saying, "I've lied, but they're good lies. I've never stolen. I've never blasphemed. I've only looked at a woman once." You're not pleading guilty, so the judge will throw the book at you if he knows you're guilty. If all the evidence is in and you refuse to admit your crimes, the judge is going to be mad. He won't give you mercy. And the Bible says this, "You are they who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." Doesn't matter whether good lies or bad lies. So Nick, you're in big trouble on Judgment Day, and I don't want you to be found guilty. The Bible warns all liars of their part in the lake of fire. That's a fearful thing. So does it consider...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but God also said that he believes in second chances through his eyes of his kids. We are his kids, and he has nothing but love for us.
But hang on, Nick, I've got to tell you something very important. The Bible says that we're not children of God until we're born into his family. We're children of the devil. The scriptures say our heart is our heart is deceitfully wicked, that the wrath of God abides upon us. So, Nick, tell me.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you believe that an infant is innocent and pure until that child has reached the age of walking and talking?
No. We've all of us, even a child, I didn't have to teach my children how to lie or steal or be selfish. It was inherent within their nature. But there comes a time when we're accountable to God. I don't know when that time is.
Right. I was brought up in a bad neighborhood. That's why I made my decision. I've changed everything around ever since I was going to the temple with my grandfather before he died. And I was going to church every day, you know, going to Bible study. I was doing all this. You know, that what made me change my life. It's the impact of my grandfather. It's not the person.
Hey, Nick, wait a second. Hold on. Hate to interrupt this, but we've got to take a short break. This is Wretched Radio.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Where are you, Aaron the actor?
In Pasadena at the Pasadena, Colorado Mall.
And this should be good. Because Ray is going to witness to somebody, which means that most likely the person that gets talked to won't end up passing out and being taken to the hospital. Right, Aaron?
Yeah.
Do you guys know something that we don't know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why obviously. Do you?
I know. I'm just saying. Aaron, what happened?
I had a heckler, and she was just kind of giving me just kind of a hard time. And she was just cussing and cussing and cussing. And then so she kept asking me, am I going to go to hell? I says, if you don't repent and put your faith in Jesus, you will. And so then she cussed, and then all of a sudden she was lying on the ground.
Why?
Why did she pass out?
Have no idea.
Was she shocked at the cuss word that she said?
I just don't know.
Let's put the best construction on it and assume that's the case.
I don't know.
So she was laying on the ground in a heap, and then you had to call an ambulance, right?
No, just she was laying there for like 20 minutes. I already got off, and my friend went up there to start preaching, and he was going up there, and then he got tired, and I went back up again.
Excuse me, you left a lady lying on the ground for 20 minutes while you preached? What's wrong with this picture?
No, we all thought that she was just drunk and passed out or fell asleep, because the crowd kind of got thicker and thicker, you know, and then I kind of couldn't see her anymore, and it just looked like she just was just passed out or just laying or sleeping or something. That's what we all thought. And then, like somebody kind of noticed it because I couldn't see what was going on after a while. And then this guy came over to her, and she wasn't moving. So they called the cops, and the cops called the fire department, and then the ambulance came, and she just wasn't moving. And then she woke up with a smile on her face, and then they wheeled her off to the hospital.
All righty then. So this all's California. Well that ends well. All right, Aaron, you're at the mall, and who do you have for Ray to chat with?
His name is Eric. He's a backslidden Catholic, and he believes to get to heaven, good works.
No. Ray, yeah. How can you possibly deal with such an attitude?
I have no idea.
Let's give it a go. Yes. Okay, Aaron, let's talk to Eric, the backslidden Catholic. Pass the phone, Aaron.
All righty.
Sorry, Aaron.
Hello.
Hello, Eric.
Hi.
How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. My name's Ray.
All right, Ray.
Now, tell me, what do you believe about God, and how do you think you get to heaven?
Okay, my beliefs on God, pretty basic, is just to live a good moral life, live your life, you know, just being the best type of person, best possible person you can be, which means, you know, you're not going out and murdering and raping and just, you know, just doing awful things to other people, and just try to be a good person. I believe that's pretty much the basic way to get to heaven.
And do you often pray?
You know, I don't sit down and do traditional prayers, but I do find myself talking to God, you know, asking God for, I guess you can use the word help in daily situations, thanking God for things that go well in my life, and just asking God, talking to God more than just traditional prayers.
Eric, would you say that you fear God?
That I fear God?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I fear God. I would say that I do live my life with God in mind, realizing that, or at least I believe that in the end there is going to be someone to answer to. So.
Right. Do you think anything ever hinders prayer? Or do you think God always hears prayers?
I believe that if you pray, don't expect to get exactly what you're praying for, because you know, if you pray for $1 million, you're not gonna get that the next day, you know. But if you pray, just
That's
ask
right.
God to be by your side, and to do just to be there in the journey in life. I believe that's the best you can do as far as prayer goes.
Eric, there's some Bible verses. One of them says, "Your sins have made a separation between you and your God, so He will not hear." Another one says, "If I regard or know of sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear." In fact, the Bible even says the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Did you know that?
I don't really study the Bible. I used to go to church as a young kid up to my
right.
teenagers, but I haven't really read the Bible
Do you think God hears the prayers of murderers and rapists?
I believe God does hear the prayers of murderers and rapists. I don't believe necessarily that that's going to take away, what's been done by those people.
Say some rapist is out there and he's looking for a woman to rape and he says, "Oh God, help me, I want to find a nice looking woman."
Oh, no. That goes back to my whole idea about living a moral life, living a life that will be seen as good in the eyes of God.
So, Eric, you think you live a life that's pleasing in God's sight?
I do believe so.
Let's do a little test to see how you're doing, okay?
Okay.
We're just going to look at some of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie?
I have. I'm a human being. I have told a lie.
What do you call it if you tell a lie? What's the right terminology?
Telling a lie is just not,
Yeah, but what would you call me if I told a lie?
I guess it depends on
a bold, barefaced, outright lie. What would you call me?
No, say, well, you lied to me, you're a liar, I guess.
That's it. Have you ever stolen something?
I have not stolen anything since I was a small child, but
so
I guess
what does
that
make you if you steal something? What are you called if you steal something?
Well, if you are somebody that goes out every day and you figure, I'm going to steal today.
If you took one thing from a store and a police officer was there and as you ran off, what would he call out?
Yeah, someone
thief.
Would call out thief. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
thief.
So you steal something, you're a thief. Ever use God's name in vain?
I do not do that.
Have you ever done it once in your life?
I'm sure I have.
Okay, that's called blasphemy.
That.
It's called blasphemy when you take God's name and use it as a cuss word. It's a very serious thing.
Blasphemy.
God's name is so holy, godly Jews won't even speak his name. They won't write his name. And if
right.
you've used it as a cuss word, you've violated the third of the Ten Commandments. And the Bible
right.
says, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
Right.
Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I go back to the whole thing about being a human being.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
If you want to put it in that context, I guess you can say, yeah, sure.
So you're saying guilty. So listen to this, Eric, listen to this.
I'm listening.
By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. That's how God sees you.
If you look at it in a certain context, then...
Yeah, as God would look at it. He looks in things in black and white. If you've lied, you're a liar. If you've stolen, you're a thief.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, well, that's God's standard he's going to judge you with on the day of judgment. Eric, think of a criminal who's standing before a judge, and the judge says, you're guilty of rape. And the criminal says, yeah, I'm guilty, but I don't agree with that. There's no argument. We are guilty. You're guilty of lying and stealing and blasphemy and adultery of the heart.
That's two different forums. That's a court of law, a court of justice.
And God's standard is far more harsh. He sees the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus said, every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof on the day of judgment. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And we haven't even looked at the fact that the Bible says that God sees your thought life. He sees exactly what you think about. We haven't even touched on the fact of that being self-righteous in the sight of God is an abomination. That is saying, I'm a good person, when God knows, and you know, and I know, that we're not good people. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We love things that are wrong. Have you ever had sex out of marriage, Eric?
Again, I don't really agree.
Eric?
Yeah, sure.
So that's called fornication, and the Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
And so... all I've done, and it hasn't been a pleasant experience for you, all I've done is turn the spotlight on you, put you in the dock so you can see your guilt, so that if you are prepared to acknowledge it, God can forgive you and wash you clean before the day of judgment. It's right, like it's like a man, Eric, who has got a disease. He comes to see the doctor. He's got disease all over his skin. And the doctor says, "How you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm really good." And the doctor thinks, "No, you're not. I can see disease all over you. You're going to be dead in a couple of weeks." So what does he say? He says, "Let me look at your flesh for a moment. Right. Let's look at it together." And he points out the symptoms of the disease. So the man will then say, "Well, what can I do?" And all we've looked at is your flesh just for a moment, that sinful nature that loves to sin, that lusting, lying, selfish, self-righteous, sinful nature that we all have. And the reason we've looked at it is to say, Eric, if you die in that state and stand before God on Judgment Day, you're going to be found guilty. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit God's kingdom. And I don't want you to end up in hell. Now, does it concern you that if you die today, you'd end up in hell?
You know what? The way you're putting things, and we were talking, apparently, I am going to go to hell. But
does it concern you, Eric?
I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. So, you know.
Well, all I'm doing is giving you what God's Word says, and I wouldn't lie to you, Eric. I'm concerned for you. And if your eyes meet my eyes on the day of judgment, and you're still in your sins, I'm free from your blood. I've told you the truth that Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. The Bible warns that most people will be self-righteous and say, I'm a good person. I guarantee if we had Hitler on this program right now, he'd say, I got rid of prostitutes out of Germany. I provided full employment in Germany.
Sure. He would stick to all the positive things that's
exactly what you and I do. We don't look at the negative. We don't look at ourselves in truth. And all
But I understand that, you know, I'm not a perfect person. I've done wrong. I've done my share of sins. I also believe that God does forgive if we ask for forgiveness.
You know what you've just done there? You know what you've just done?
What's that?
You've violated the second of the Ten Commandments.
How's that?
Which says you should not make yourself a graven image. You've created a God in your own image, a God that you don't fear, a God that's non-existent. It's not made with your hands. He's made within your mind. A non-existent image in the imagination. I did it before I was a Christian. I created a God I felt comfortable with. So, Eric, think seriously about what we've talked about. Listen to the guy that's going to talk with you after we get off the air and even pray about it and say, God, if what that guy was saying is true, please show me.
This is Wretched Radio. If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsène, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Thank you for being here today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks to all of you who have your new copy of our gospel booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? Jesus was, as they say in the vernacular, relentless. About the subject of true and false conversions, parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. And if you study church backslider rates, it's clear his concerns were warranted. Are you a rotten fish? Perfect for you if you want to know more about, well, true and false conversions, wheat and tares, good fish and rotten fish. Wretched.org/fish to get your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish? A booklet that will help you compare and contrast the true gospel versus false gospels and the correct response to the gospel versus, well, a plethora of incorrect responses. Wretched.org/fish to get your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish? Wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church.
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled. And they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature. And his wrath has been settled on the cross. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're ready to talk to Aaron, who's out of the street. I think he's in a mall today.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I look forward
Aaron.
To that.
Oh, Aaron.
Yes.
All right, you got somebody we can chat with today?
Yeah, I do. Her name's Denise. She said that she's a Christian. I asked why she's a Christian. She said because of family, she was brought up that way. And I said, okay, what type of people go to heaven and what type of people go to hell? And she says, anyone who believes in God goes to heaven. Anyone who doesn't. So I said, Muslims, Jews, and stuff like that, they all go to heaven? She says yes, as long as they believe in God.
Yikes. All right. I'm guessing we might have a postmodern Denise. Ray?
Okay. She sounds nice to me.
Take over, mister.
Hi, Ray.
Hello, Denise. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. So, you're a Christian?
Yes.
Have you been born again?
Yes.
What happened? Why did you get born again?
Well, I was raised into Christianity from my mother and my father. I was baptized, and I've asked God to be the Lord and Savior of my life.
Do you say, Denise, that you fear the Lord?
Yes, but I know he would never do anything to hurt or harm me. He would never put anything that I can't bear. I believe that everyone that has asked God to be in their life is going to heaven. I believe that either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's no of the reincarnation. There's none of that.
Well, that sounds interesting. Do you read your Bible every day?
No, I don't read my Bible every day.
When did you last read it?
Sunday.
Sunday.
I attend church every Sunday. I read my Bible as a reference when I'm going through things personally. The Bible is what I go to for reference.
Okay. I've got a couple of verses that I'd like to bring up you may be interested in. You may be familiar with them. One is where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. Then in the book of Acts, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then in the book of 1 John, it says, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. So the Bible makes it very clear there's only one way to God. You can't be saved through Buddha, through trusting in a priest, through the Pope, through Hinduism, through any of the isms. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's true? Or can a Hindu go to heaven because he believes in God, or a Buddhist or a Muslim go to heaven because they believe in God?
Good question. I still believe that everyone is going to go to heaven. I just think that, like, the Buddhists and all that, their beliefs are just a little different. They have their heavens and their hell, even though there's one. It's just a different way of putting it. That's what I believe.
Denise, do you think...
I'm also not a Buddhist or anything, so I don't know what they believe, but I'm just saying from my point of view.
Well, they're saying there are other ways to God. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Do you think you're speaking the truth?
Yes. But then I don't know. But yeah,
it's a pretty big statement to make to say that no one can get to heaven but through Jesus, isn't it? But it's what he said. Denise, have you ever heard any teaching on false conversion? Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, it's when someone puts their faith in Jesus, but they don't repent. Jesus told the story of a sower that went forth to sow, and some seed fell on stony ground, and it withered and died. Some fell on shallow ground. It grew for a time, and the sun came out and caused it to die. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns choked it. And some fell in good soil, and it grew up and had lots of fruit. And that's a type of what happens when people hear the gospel. Some people are just rejected outright. Some people get caught up in the cares of the world and the love of other things. And others believe for a time. These are like the ones with in the shallow soil. But in a time of tribulation or temptation or persecution, they fall away. And in fact, the Bible says the church is filled with false converts. It speaks of what's called tares among the wheat, or foolish virgins among the wise, bad fish among the good, and goats among the sheep. So there are a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian, but they've never found a place of biblical repentance. And Jesus warned on the day of judgment, they're going to cry, this is in the book of Matthew, Lord, Lord. And he'll say to them, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. Wouldn't that be a scary thing to get to heaven and found yourself not being allowed in and ending up in hell?
Yes. But I don't believe I will have that problem.
Are you sure?
Yes, I believe no one's perfect, but once you repent, God has forgiven you, and whatever was done is forgotten out of his mind. He doesn't hold that against you.
Okay. Well, there's a little test you can do, and it's worth doing on yourself. You know, if you were going to jump out of a plane, and I looked over and I saw that one of your straps was a little loose on your parachute, it'd be kind of me to say, hey, Denise, you're going to jump 20,000 feet. Just pull that strap nice and tight. And you say, okay, I'll just check. So we'll do a little check to see if everything's tight with you, okay?
Okay.
Because we're talking about your eternity.
Okay.
Do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions to see if you are a good person. This is the test. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What does that make you? What are you called if you tell a lie?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
No.
Your whole life?
No.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
No.
Even once?
No.
Okay. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust, even once?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever hated someone?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible says if you hate someone, you're a murderer. And if you lust, you commit adultery in your heart.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, this is real important, and I appreciate you being patient with me. By your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and a liar, a murderer at heart, and an adulterer at heart. Your heart isn't, you're not a good person. The Bible says there's none good. Jesus said there's none good but God. Mm-hmm. And you're like me, the Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked. And there are a lot of people that say, all I have to do is believe in God and repent. But they're not Christians because they haven't done what the Bible says. And there's two very clear things the Bible says you must do to be saved. Do you know what they are?
You can save them.
So you're not sure?
No.
This is so important because there are a lot of people in your position, they say, oh, yeah, I believe in God, but the Bible says demons believe and tremble in fear. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, oh, I've repented. Well, who doesn't repent after you commit adultery? You feel guilty and say, oh, God, forgive me. And you think everything's right. But the Bible makes it clear repentance can't save you from the wrath of God. There's only one thing that can save you from hell. Do you know what it is? It's so important. Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. The Bible says that even though we've sinned and God's wrath abides on us, that we're enemies of God in our mind through wicked works, God is rich in mercy. And he sent his son, born of a woman, made of a virgin, to suffer and die for our sins. And when Jesus was on the cross, he took the punishment for the sin of the world upon himself. The Bible says God commended or demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus gave his life's blood to pay the fine so we could leave the courtroom, so God could say to us, your case is dismissed, someone else paid your fine. And then he rose from the dead. The Bible says it was not possible that death could hold him. And what you must do in response to that is, number one, you must repent. And number two, you must trust in Jesus alone for your salvation. That means you stop saying, I'm a good person, I'll be fine. And you say, no, if I died in my sins, I'd go to hell. I need a Savior, someone who can wash me clean. And that's what happens when you repent and trust Jesus. You're not saved because of your repentance. You're saved because you're trusting in him who died for you. And the moment you do that, Denise, Those straps will be pulled tight. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will know that you pass from death to life. And because you've seen the gravity of your own sin, you'll look at a Hindu and say, oh, if God sees a Hindu's thought life, and he sees lust as adultery, and he sees hatred as murder, and he says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, if God is that holy, no amount of chanting mantras or crossing legs or whatever is going to save a Hindu. Same with the Buddha, same with the Muslim. They must repent and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So it's only through Jesus. And that means every single person must come to that point of yielding their life and saying, not my will, but yours be done. Todd, would you like to say something to Denise?
Hey, Denise, when you became a Christian, hey, by the way, thanks for listening to that guy preach at you.
No problem.
Let me, when you became a Christian, do you remember a time when you became a Christian?
When I was, yes, I was about 5 years old.
Okay. What happened? What happened? Do you recall?
I was young back then. I remember being baptized. That's the only thing that I remember at that time, was being baptized.
Hey, well, let me just leave you with a thought, Denise. You've been very, very kind to listen to us talk. if what this guy has been saying makes sense, it getting saved is not a small thing. You've heard the term being born again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In order to be born again, we need to die to ourselves. In other words, we need to come to the point where we go, oh, I've done so many filthy, horrible things. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Have mercy on me. And we throw ourselves at his feet for forgiveness, and we put our trust in the Savior. It's a radical event, a knowledge of our sin and our filthiness, and a knowledge of the goodness of God demonstrated on the cross, so that we repent, confess our sins, forsake our sins, and put our trust in the Savior. It's a big deal. And if you don't know for sure that you've done that, the Bible says then today is the day of salvation, and you should just make your calling and election sure. So would you just spend some time thinking about this stuff today?
Yes.
Thanks very much for talking to us. You're a nice young lady. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See ya.
Until next time, go serve your King.